Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and this is a story of a generational battle of a different sort. When she was five, saxophonist and composer Matana Roberts was asked by her dad to listen to whole albums by atonal sax players like Albert Eiler and Sun Ra. By the end, she would be in tears. Matana then rebelled and started studying classical music. But she re-encountered the sax in high school and since then has made music that derives from what she used to call Daddy's Crazy Music. Her latest album is called The Chicago Project, and Matana joins us today. And this time I am getting your name right,
yeah,
Matana.
Thanks.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
So there is a kind of generational story here at work in the making of your music.
Yes.
Listening to free jazz as a kid, studying classical music, and then coming back to it. How has that kind of shaped your whole approach to music?
It's just been many different waves coming together in many different types of ways. My dad is a baby boomer, but my parents had me when they were fairly young. So there was, along with the more atonal or creative music things going on in the house, there was a lot of really great soul, a lot of really great funk. Some singer-songwriters worked their way in there through my mother. And then there was theater music, all sorts of things.
Yeah. And is it hard to reconcile? I mean, you studied classical music. Is it hard to reconcile the kind of the structural concerns of classical music with the all-out blowing of free improvisation?
Well, I have a real problem with the term free in regards to the music that I play, because as a composer, there are a lot of structural bases there for me, and I try to write in that way. And I guess studying classical music kind of set me up for that. And I think one of the problems that I had with my dad and his music is that I just couldn't understand the formats. But now I have such an understanding of the format, it's not really that much of an issue.
Well, the new album, the latest release called The Chicago Project, actually was produced by a couple of notable musicians. Vijay Iyer has been here a number of times, pianist mm-hmm. who improvises but is also an award-winning composer. Mm-hmm. And John McIntyre, who's the drummer from the post-rock band Tortoise, who one of our listeners mentioned just a moment
yes.
ago. What role do they have in shaping the sound of this new record?
Well, I should make a distinction there. Somehow things have gotten spread on the web in different ways, but Vijay Iyer was the sole producer of this record. John McIntyre was the main engineer.
Uh-huh.
I learned a lot about sound from both of them, which is why I chose Vijay to produce the record. And John had also mastered and mixed and recorded a record I did with a collaborative trio I'm a part of called Sticks and Stones. And I really enjoyed working with him. So
I mean, a producer and an engineer, I mean, they're not actually in the studio, you know, with hands to keyboards or any other instrument, but they are, you know, certainly coloring the sound. So what did you have in your mind's ear when you decided to bring both of them on board? Did you want something different out of this project?
No, I just wanted something that sounded really good. I was looking for a really good sounding record, and I knew that John could deliver on that, but I also knew that having Vijay helping with the production side would be very helpful because he's so experienced.
Let's hear a little bit of what turned out. Matana
okay.
Matana Roberts is my guest, the sax player and composer, and this is her album, The Chicago Project. Thank you. music from Matanah Roberts. The album is called The Chicago Project. Matanah, you've been living here in New York for a couple of years now. Why this album about Chicago?
Well, I've now been in New York for almost 6 years now, and when Central Control, which was the label from Britain that put out this record, when they approached me and they created such a comfortable situation where I could choose where I wanted to record, who I wanted to bring on board, it was very easy. I had a lot of freedom. I decided to make sure I was charting my trajectory, kind of looking at the larger picture. And I wanted people to be clear that my roots are very much still in Chicago, but also because it was such a comfortable situation, I felt like I had to make sure that I was honoring the people that made it possible for me to even be here in New York.
Well, in jazz circles, when you mention Chicago, many people will immediately think of AACM, the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians, which, you know, all of the founding members of the Art Ensemble of Chicago were members of that. Fred Anderson, with whom you play on this new record. I mean, this has been an organization that's been around for decades.
Yes.
Are you the youngest member of the AACM?
No, I'm not the youngest member of the AACM, because the AACM has a school, and so there are children in that school.
Wow.
So I'm definitely not the youngest member
of
the AACM.
Did you come through the school?
No, I did not. I didn't come through the school. I was never really involved with the organization as a child in Chicago, but both my parents are from Chicago, and my father was really into the music, so there was always AACM stuff playing in the house. AACM has always been in my life somewhere, but just not always direct.
Yeah, and it's funny how many of those guys eventually moved to New York, like Lester Bowie, who lived in Brooklyn for so long.
Interesting.
So you're kind of following that migration path, you know, from Chicago to New York.
I guess so. It wasn't purposeful.
Now, I mentioned Fred Anderson. He's on three tracks, and you talked about how, you know, there is a shape to the music. It's not just, like, free, you know. On the album, there are these three tracks, Birdhouse 1, 2, and 3, all with you and Fred Anderson. Mm-hmm. What's the kind of structural role? Because it seems like there is a role for those three pieces in the overall album.
Well, originally, what I wanted is Vaughn Freeman, Fred Anderson, and myself, because I learned a lot from Fred and I learned a lot from Vaughn Freeman, both elders on the Chicago scene. There's a really strong elder tradition in Chicago. And basically the formats for those, Birdhouse was the name of Fred's first club in Chicago. So that's what it was dealing with, the memories of that. A club that I never knew because I was too young, but I'd heard about.
Let's hear a little bit of Birdhouse Number 2 from The Chicago Project by my guest Matanah Roberts. Matanah Roberts and her guest, Fred Anderson, a veteran Chicago player. The piece is called Birdhouse Number 2 from a three-part suite that's on Matanah's new record called The Chicago Project. She is taking part in a panel discussion at the Community Church of New York this Friday, May 9th, and actually it celebrates a new book on the AACM that we've been talking about by George Lewis. So Matanah will be there. George Lewis and Muhal Richard Abrams and Wadada Leo Smith will all be performing together. That's going to be pretty amazing. It seems it's hard to talk about any of this without, you know, referencing the past, whether it's your family or some of these veteran players that you've learned so much from. And this Coin project that you've done mm-hmm. is very much about, you know, paying tribute to the past. You went, the story goes, you tracked your family back through 10 generations, is that right?
Yeah, I've had stories told to me going as far back as that, and I just happen to have records of certain parts, particularly the Louisiana clan. There were things, the slave code in Louisiana is very peculiar, and there were a lot of things that people of color could get away with in that state that they couldn't in others. So a lot of my family members from that area were very wealthy, and because of that, there were records, land records. And so I have records to those people going back to before the Louisiana Purchase.
Really?
Yeah, it's been really
so
interesting.
Free men of color owning land
yes.
prior to the Louisiana Purchase yes. was 1803,
yes.
wasn't it?
Yes, 1754, I believe, I thought.
Was when they...
Yes, and so they didn't consider themselves African or Negro in any way. They went by gens de couleur libre, which means free people of color. They were kind of in between. They weren't like the poor white trash, quote unquote, or the poor slaves. Mm-hmm. They set up their own complete system.
Many of those African families that did become free people in Louisiana, many of them ended up having Native American blood. Is that the case
yes,
with your family?
Yeah, definitely on both sides. There's Choctaw, Cherokee, Chickasaw.
So can you tell this kind of history in music, in jazz?
I can, and that's what I'm trying to do. I mean, not only paying homage, but trying to dig so that I can have a clear understanding of who I am or who it is I'm supposed to be. That was one of the reasons I started the project. I also, my grandmother had passed away in 2005, and she was the person, my maternal grandmother, that had tons of these records. And I'd never thought that it was something unusual. I thought everybody. And then the more and more I dug, I was like, oh, well, let me see if I can take these lives, those people that probably thought their lives were very mundane, and make something creative out of it.
The project is the Coin Project by my guest, Matana Roberts, looking back over 10 years, or rather 10 generations yeah. of her family. And here's a little bit of it. Some music from my guest Matana Roberts, alto sax player and composer. The Coin Project is a kind of musical narrative of 10 generations of Matana Roberts' family. The old spiritual Deep River being mm-hmm. quoted in that. What's happening? What's that a reference to?
The Mississippi Moonchild is the second chapter in the 10-chapter narrative, and paternal great-great-grandfather was a traveling preacher and a sharecropper. And so with Mississippi, I'm really dealing with the church, but also when I interviewed my maternal grandmother, who's still alive, she didn't want to talk about the bad parts of Mississippi. She would talk about these good things. Mm. So I was able to create this piece that turned out to be very joyful.
Now, when you go digging through family roots and stuff, there's mm-hmm. often, you know, unpleasantness that,
yeah.
that crops up. And in your case, a family of kind of mixed race.
Definitely.
What did you find?
Well, there's the, you know, Louisiana in particular, because those people that I told you about earlier, the gens de couleur libre, they could pass as Caucasian. So when my grandfather and his brother moved west, one moved to pass as white and one moved to pass as black. And that family stopped communicating back in like 1960. So digging in this, I'm contacting people who didn't even know that I existed and trying to bring those together and also kind of codify the fact that, yes, I have a first cousin who, when they check the box on race, they check Caucasian. And that kind of, you know that I'm mixed with all sorts of things, but that kind of threw me into a loop.
Wow. Now, how is it just as a woman in what is perceived to be a man's world, you know, especially, you know, the horn section? I mean, there are some, but not many women sax players.
Well, there are a lot more women than a lot of people are aware of, unfortunately. I mean, it's just the way that the music is marketed. And so you don't get to hear about people that are working hard. And one of the reasons I did come to New York is because there's a lot of women playing and playing at really high levels. But my thing on gender changes from year to year. It can be a struggle.
All right. The struggle continues, I suppose.
Yes.
Matana Roberts is the sax player and composer. The album is called The Chicago Project. She's part of this panel discussion on Friday, May 9th, at the Community Church of New York. And then playing with her drummerless trio, Grace, at the Jazz Gallery later this month on May 31st. Matana, a real pleasure having you here in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you can check out podcasts of Soundcheck on our website at WNYC.org and check out our program tomorrow. Every war has had its songs of battle, but in Iraq today, they're coming from iPods and being piped through communication systems of tanks. We'll hear about what soldiers are listening to and what music means on the front lines. Also tomorrow, live music from Pacifica, a Latin-flavored pop trio from, of all places, Vancouver. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatau, and we had help today from Andrea Ambro and Vanessa Harris. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM, WNYC.